AM 950, Matt McNeil here. Michael Broadcorp, of course, has been with us numerous times. He and Allison Mann wrote The Girls Are Gone, the award-winning book about the Sandra Grazzini-Ruckey kidnapping of her own daughters, abandoning them on a horse farm, the discovery of those daughters, and the insanity, which is this entire story. Wise Inc., by the way, is publishing The Girls Are Gone. Michael's kind enough to join us to give us another update on how things keep going here. And Michael, they do indeed keep rolling on, correct?
They do, sir. Thank you so much again for the opportunity to come on and talk about this important story.
I'm dead serious when I say this. I've got a stack of books next to my work desk. This is one of them. This is a fantastic book. And if you do not have The Girls Are Gone, go get it. It is a very good book just on the story alone. But we kind of keep getting updates from missinginminnesota.com. This is the companion website for the book. You should follow that as well. And I guess we'll start with the fact that we Michelle McDonald, who was Sandra Grazzini-Ruckey's lawyer for a good chunk of this issue, and you know, there's a decent chance she knew exactly what was going on here. But needless to say, she had actually taken you to court, and they were seeking legal action against you. Correct?
Correct. She did. She sued us in June of 2018, a couple months before the book came out. The lawsuit was later dismissed. Michelle appealed that lawsuit to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. She lost on appeal. In the days after Michelle filed the lawsuit, originally in June 2018, my writing partner and I, Allison Mann, filed a complaint against Michelle with the Office of Lawyers Professional Responsibility. It's a long, long name for an organization that polices and enforces the rules of professional conduct regarding licensed attorneys in the state of Minnesota. The lawyers board filed a complaint, opened up an investigation into Michelle based on our complaint, and they filed a petition earlier this year with the Minnesota Supreme Court in March of this year, asking that Michelle be disciplined in part because of the lawsuit that she filed against us. Michelle filed what the lawyers board believes, and I believe in what very strongly, was a knowingly false lawsuit. So Michelle is currently facing the disciplinary process from that's being organized under kind of the umbrella of the Minnesota Supreme Court. In Minnesota, the Minnesota Supreme Court polices and issues discipline regarding attorneys, which is interesting because, drum roll, Michelle McDonald is running again for the Minnesota Supreme Court. Michelle ran in 2016, 2018, 2020, and she's going to be running again this year. The filing period opened last week. She has not filed yet, but she's been out campaigning, and all expectations are that she's going to file again to run for the Minnesota Supreme Court for the fourth time.
And she has not won. You know, I find it interesting. Let's go back to the lawsuit she filed against you. There was just a John Oliver last week tonight. He did an episode where he talked about, people who are trying to silence others, the media particularly, by throwing frivolous lawsuits out there. And in many states that you can't get away, you can get away with that and just basically bring a procedure and try to drain the financial wherewithal of the critic. So henceforth, they drop they voluntarily drop the story, drop the book, not the case. And your feeling is once again that Michelle McDonald might, she was kind of going down that road. This was a frivolous lawsuit to try to stop the book.
There's no, she did not know about the book at the time. But she was filed a suit based on material that we had written in on our website that was later published in the book. The basis was Michelle was the claim that the Lakeville Police Department labeled Michelle a person of interest in the disappearance of Samantha and Gianna Ruckey. It's a statement of fact that the Lakeville Police Department did. I reported on that accurately. Michelle was upset about it, but it's a statement of truth. She represented Sandra Grazzini-Ruckey for the entire 944 days that the Ruckey girls were missing. On the day the Ruckey girls were found, Michelle was replaced as Sandra Grazzini-Ruckey's attorney by another attorney who eventually would serve as Sandra's attorney for the entire case. That attorney, Stephen Grigsby, also was Michelle's criminal defense attorney, because Michelle has had some legal issues, criminal issues of her own in the past. And so Michelle attempted to litigate on that, and she lost. She lost in The lawsuit was dismissed in Ramsey County. She appealed, and the Minnesota Court of Appeals confirmed that the basis, the reason the lawsuit was dismissed was justified, and provided some additional context on what is the requirement for lawyers, what is the requirement for someone filing a lawsuit if they're a public figure. And so Michelle, the Lawyers Professional Responsibility Board, looked at the merits of Michelle's lawsuit and came to the conclusion, based on the complaint that Allison and I filed, that her lawsuit was frivolous, that it was that that what she filed in that lawsuit violated the rules of licensed attorneys in Minnesota. And the point I want to make, Matt, to your listeners, and particularly also to you, is that lawsuits, lawyers lose lawsuits all the time, and they don't get in trouble for those, for losing a lawsuit. When a lawyer files a lawsuit and they lose, that doesn't mean that the lawsuit was, it doesn't always mean that the lawsuit had no, had didn't have a basis in fact. There are legitimate issues that arise from lawsuits that you need a judge who represents the judicial branch in that proceeding to make a ruling. Michelle's lawsuit was frivolous on its face and should not have been filed. And the art, and what Michelle did in the course of filing that lawsuit and preparing the lawsuit, she, by all accounts, doctored evidence and attempted to go out there and make the claim by going down to the Eagan Police Department and saying that making claims and filing police reports and all this stuff. Michelle did some underhanded, nefarious things, and the lawyers board, in reviewing the complaint and reviewing the court orders that have come out in the in the lawsuit, decided Michelle deserves to be suspended, or that she deserves to be suspended, have her law license disciplined in some way. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but there will be some discipline if Michelle is found to have operated in violation of Minnesota rules governing licensed attorneys. That will most likely lead to her license being suspended, or her being on probation, or some other form of punishment. Michelle is a classic, has an ability to just to ignore things. And in the midst of her being undergoing this disciplinary process, she's running for the Minnesota Supreme Court. Now, if she gets elected, she will then sit on the governing board. The complaint doesn't go away. But if she were to get elected, Michelle would then sit on the board that determines her own discipline. Now, maybe she would recuse herself, maybe she wouldn't. There would be some concerns about what she could do. But ultimately the concern about judicial elections in Minnesota is that there's not a lot of attention given to them. There's very low public awareness of them. She would be running against, if she files, and by all accounts she's going to file, she'd be running against Justice Thiessen. Paul Thiessen, who used to be a member of the House of Representatives, was Speaker at the time, was Speaker for a period of time. And so it's important to note that. And so that's why there needs to be awareness given to these issues. And there needs to be awareness given to these down ballot races, these judicial races. In the year of the coronavirus, with these judicial elections and being a presidential year, with all the kind of wrenches that are being thrown into the electoral system this year and the election of 2020 because of news developments and other things, there's not going to be, I don't think, a ton of attention given to these down ballot races, particularly a race that's on the other side of the ballot, which is a judicial election.
And you're exactly right. Flip that ballot over, because there's a full list of elections there, and you need to pay attention to those just as much as anything else, especially for the Minnesota Supreme Court.
And so to think that someone like Michelle, who's, again, for your listeners, is currently facing a disciplinary process that could potentially result in her law license being suspended, having her campaign to be on the Minnesota Supreme Court, aside from the possibility for being elected, should be very concerning to Minnesotans.
And it should be reminded, we had an old, and part of this entire story was the debacle. She was searching for the GOP nomination for the Supreme Court. She basically There were some questions about, I guess, was a DUI or something of that nature. She ended up having a blow up with the GOP where there was an embarrassing standoff at the state fair booth one year between her and the GOP. And she still ended up getting, what, 400,000 votes, 500,000. People do vote in these elections, and you don't take them seriously. That's a key. I think that's absolutely spot on. Now, I might be missing a few details there. But one thing we also don't want to skip past is Dee Dee Evavold. This is the woman that helped Sandra Grazini-Ruckey remove the two daughters. She had actually worked for Michelle McDonald in her campaign?
Yes. And just to clarify, I think Michelle ran in 14, 18, 20, and then this will be the fourth time. I think I said previously she ran in 16. It was 14, 18, 20, and this will be the next one. So I was off on 1 year. Dee Dee Evavold, when Michelle McDonald ran the first time in 2014 for the Minnesota Supreme Court, her campaign manager and campaign chair was a woman by the name of Dee Dee Evavold. Dee Dee Evavold was later convicted of 6 felonies for her role in the disappearance of Samantha and Gianna Ruckey. So the type of caliber of people that were attracted to Michelle's candidacy, not only was her campaign manager convicted for her role, her star client, Sandra Grazini-Ruckey, was convicted for her role in the disappearance of her kids, which is detailed in our book, which is interesting. In 2014, while the Ruckey girls were missing, both Sandra and Dee Dee did campaign appearances for Michelle on the campaign trail. And all the while, those two adults were involved in the disappearance of the girls, and they're out appearing in campaign events for Michelle, talking about the case, talking about the missing daughters at campaign events. To think that there wasn't some awareness by Michelle of what was going on is defies logic, and it brings further evidence to the claims made by the Lakeville Police Department that Michelle was a suspect based on what she knew. We also, if I may, Matt, for just a moment quickly, I'll also add, in the course of writing the book, we received some data requests back, which established that Michelle did know. There was phone calls recorded between Michelle and Sandra while Sandra was in jail in Florida. And Michelle talked about the affirmative defense, and this was before the girls were found. And this is detailed on Missing in Minnesota. It clearly shows that Michelle knew more than what she was saying to the public.
I know this story is just nuts. I know that you are not necessarily a judicial punishment expert, but as Michelle McDonald is going before the disciplinary board here, what could end up being, I mean, are we looking at a suspension? Could she lose her law license altogether? Do you know what the parameters of a punishment under this case would be?
Based on, and my experience is only through covering this case and kind of the branches of a couple other cases, I think it's more likely than not that her license will be suspended for a period of time. I don't believe she's going to be disbarred, but I believe her license will be suspended at some point. Now, the disciplinary process is slow. It will take at least a year plus for that to happen. So the disciplinary process, while it's going on while she is campaigning, it will not be decided or determined by the time that when the election is over. So it is likely that for argument's sake, if Michelle got elected, she would still be going through the disciplinary process if she was elected to the Supreme Court. And what's more likely than not is, I think, is if the process run its full course, and the facts are generally known right now, and not barring there being a massive change in the facts, I think it's more likely than not that she's suspended for a period of time with the opportunity to reapply for her license down the road. This would be Michelle's third disciplinary. This is the third time that she's been disciplined. If she's disciplined, this would be the third time that she would have been disciplined by the Minnesota Supreme Court for conduct. So we'll see where it goes. But most likely or not, I think she's going to be suspended if she's found guilty. If the the referee finds that she's committed these rule violations, more likely than not, she's going to be suspended for a period of time. 6 months, a year, a year and a half, 2 years, who knows? And then have the possibility to be to reapply to be a fully practicing attorney again with conditions. Michelle, the last time she was disciplined, she lost her license for 60 days. I believe it was 60 days, and then she needed to then she was under probation on probation while she was practicing after that point. So we'll see.
We just had ABC News just had a revisiting of this case, because it's been, as you mentioned, quite a few years at this point. And just, you know, it's, and I know you had mentioned on your website, once again, Missing in Minnesota, go follow it. It's very good. You had pictures and on your Twitter feed, and I also recommend following Michael on Twitter. Dee Dee Evavold, her latest gig now is showing up at these anti face mask rallies for, you know, the kind of the pro Trump side of, you know, let's go coronavirus. So she showed up at one of those without a face mask on. So, you know, things are going great for her. How about Sandra? I mean, where do we know where she's at? Has she finally said, okay, geez, I need to put this behind me and move on with my life?
Yeah, so Michelle and Dee Dee both made appearances at protests at the governor's residence over the last couple weeks. I think they were both at one that we know of, but I know that Dee Dee's gone to others too, based on what folks have said. Sandra lives in Florida, is somewhat active a bit on social media with some anonymous Twitter account that she runs. But aside from that, she has no involvement with her family, with her kids. She's continuing to fight kind of the online at least, continuing to revisit many of the issues of this court case and other stuff. So it is, it's tough for some of these people to move on past where they need to. But Michelle is kind of stuck in this. Dee Dee is still stuck in this. Dee Dee has got an upcoming criminal trial later this summer related to some harassment involving me and my family. So she's got some problems. But Sandra is kind of just relegated to some online activity. Doug and Gina Dowlin, they've been the most quiet. They pled guilty. And by all accounts, they're trying to just move away and disassociate from this as much as they can.
And just really quick, the Dolans were the horse farm. They owned the horse farm where the two girls were moved to. I do love the it's an anonymous social media account, but if we all know which one it is, you really suck at anonymous.
Yes, absolutely, yes.
On the positive, we always end with the positive note. David Ruckey, of course, was so, he was heartbroken about what had happened. I was so happy to finally get his daughters back. Things going well there?
By all accounts, things are going well. The kids are doing well. The family's doing
good,
well.
Good.
And they're adjusting, and they're continuing to adjust and move forward. Positive development is always good. And I feel very honored with the fact that I was able to write with Allison a true crime book that had a happy ending. And this one truly did. And I'm very happy the way this book ended, the way this story ended. But the story still continues in other ways. But for the most part, for David, his daughters, and the family, there's been progress and health and happiness that I hope that continues to stay with them for the rest of their lives.
Michael Broadcorp, Allison Mann, the girls are gone. Get the book. Go over to Next Chapter Books. Get the book. It's a great book. Follow the webpage, Missing in Minnesota. It goes on and on. It's a great read. I mean, you want to spend a few hours. You haven't been there. Trust me. Go there, read it. And, of course, follow these guys on social media as well. Michael, until the next time we chat, of course, my friend.
Matt, you are a gentleman and such a good advocate that I can't thank you enough and AM 950 enough for continuing to bring attention to this issue. Thank you so much, sir.
You always will have a platform here because this is insane. And kudos to you to keep following this even under all the other pressures that you've gotten. It is Matt McNeil right here at AM 950. We'll take a break and come on back right here on AM 950.